You're listening to Fan of a Fan, an independently produced podcast for stands by stands. I'm Kayla.
And I'm Augie.
So guys, we're back, and today we're gonna briefly talk about our past year our year in podcasting. Next week on the 27th will be our year mark.
Yes.
So we're gonna talk a little bit about our time over the last year, and the rest of the episode will be a ranked episode like we've done before, and it's gonna be some of our favorite teen angsty songs from, you know, our teenage years.
Yeah. So super hyped to revisit this space.
Yes. So yeah, as soon as I suggested this topic, Gigi was like, yes, yep, let's do it.
That's exactly what we're doing.
But yeah, so let's get into it. And as always, use the hashtag FOAFpod when you're listening to the show so mm-hmm. we can see what you guys are talking about. Yep. So let's get into it.
Lego. Happy 1 year anniversary, Kay.
Thanks. Happy
birthday. Fan of a Fan is turning 1 year old, or 1 year yes. old, whatever.
Yeah.
And we are extremely hype about it. Like,
It doesn't feel like it.
It doesn't feel like it's been a year. Like, we've really gone through some, like, it's been like a crazy journey, I feel like, because yes. I don't know what expectations either of us had when, like, getting into starting this podcast. I think, like, mm-hmm. for me, I just wanted an outlet to be able to talk about fandom and pop culture, because at the time I was working, you know, on a news show where, like, most of my job was just, you know, like 90% of it was like hard news and whatnot.
Yeah.
And so and I was like ecstatic when you were down to be like the amazing co-host that you are.
Thank you so much.
What are your thoughts on us turning a year?
Well, you know, I'm super excited that we haven't, like, fizzled out.
Yes.
Because with our schedules, and, like, if you're a new listener, we do not live in the same state. So,
nope.
Sometimes it's hard to link up and to record and things mm-hmm. like that, you know, time and schedules and things like that. But we pretty much found a good, you know, working system, and I'm super excited that we've been able to, you know, keep with it,
yeah,
and be, you know, pretty consistent with it. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. I'm really happy with the show, and I'm actually really surprised, you know, by how many people listen
yeah.
after only a year. it's a lot of y'all. It's a lot more than I thought it'd be by the year mark. So we love y'all so much.
We love and you
I
guys. Thank you.
I love,
like,
my co-host so much.
Oh my
you know?
God, I love
I'm
you
so,
too. I love you
so,
too.
Yes, I'm so happy that I can do it with you. So I really love this.
Yeah.
I love this so much, and I'm excited to keep going with it and
same.
For it to, you know, just get bigger. And
same.
Yes. Also, shout out to Dion.
Oh, yeah. So Dion, our amazing DJ, has, again, since day one, like, she just, like, knew exactly what we wanted. Like, it was so seamless.
Yeah.
And we just appreciate and love her so much. And, again, if you need a DJ and you're in Atlanta, or if you're somewhere else and you just want her to, like, I don't know, create some music for you, like, hit her up. She is super talented
yes.
and deserves all the love and support. So
we love
thank
Dion.
You, Dion, and is a huge part of our team. I can't wait to get everyone together.
I
maybe
know.
Like, one of our new goals should be, like, to actually reunite and
yes.
get everyone together. And maybe if you're a listener in that area, you can come hang
yes.
out with us. Okay, so before we get into, like, the ranked episode, okay, what has been, like, your favorite episode or, like, moment or whatever from, like, the past year?
I think my fave has always been the what is it called, the one where we talked about Solange's album.
Oh yeah, that was good.
A Stand at the Table,
mm-hmm.
is that the one?
Yep,
that's one of my faves. I think it's because we were both just kind of, like, enamored with that album.
Yeah,
just so in love with that album. So
we needed that.
We were, like, standing the whole time. I really liked that episode. And also one of the more recent episodes, I wish I knew the name of it. Is it Songs of the Summer? I think it might be Songs
mm-hmm.
of the Summer. where you just had me dying laughing the whole time. So I listened back to that, I think like twice, and I'm like, this shit is so, like, Gigi is being so funny. Like, oh, y'all need to go back and listen to this. So yeah, that was one of my favorite episodes. Because I was just dying. Like, yeah, you know, we laughed throughout all of the episodes, but I was legit dying in that episode.
That was a good episode. Thank you. So,
definitely one of my faves.
I have,
so
like,
yours?
Two
okay.
separate ones. I actually really, really enjoyed our very first episode. Like, oh, yeah. I went back and listened to it recently, and, like, we had a really, like, if I do say so myself, we had, like, a really solid first episode that was, like, not just interesting, but, like, really laid out the vision for the show and, like,
yeah,
the kinds of things we wanted to cover and, like, was truly just when I was envisioning what I wanted this show to be, that episode is, like, the perfect example, I feel like. And so mm-hmm. I just love that we, you know, we may not have had that many listeners in the beginning, but I just feel like we started off on such a great foot and it was just inspiring to, like, go from that and just keep going higher and higher with, like, what we, you know, what we were planning and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we can't, like, have a conversation about our first year without talking about a very important thing that happened that kind of, like, changed the course of this show and, like, really gave us a great boost, and that was Camila leaving Fifth Harmony. Like,
shout out to you, girl.
I mean, Camila leaving Fifth Harmony was, like, the best thing to ever happen to this show.
Yeah, if y'all saw the numbers, yo, like, if
listen,
y'all saw the numbers,
we were shocked. Like, okay, so that happened, like, around December, so we had
December
been doing this
19th, I believe.
Yeah,
yes.
So we had been doing this for, like, about, like, 6 months or so, mm-hmm. like, you know, and we were steady. Like, we had a group of, like, loyal people listening and, like,
yeah.
we were comfortable. We loved that anybody was listening, let alone, you know, the few people that were. Mm-hmm. And then Camila left and we immediately popped into y'all's feeds with, like, an emergency episode because we felt
literally
like
the next day.
We felt like, you know, this was something that happened with this group that got, like, a lot more coverage than most anything they've ever done. And yeah. we felt like it wasn't, you know, people who were covering it, since they didn't know much about the group and the dynamics and what had been going on, and we'd been following it so closely, we were like, hold up, we gotta, like, add in our two cents and, like, let y'all know yeah. what really happened. So we dropped this, you know, emergency episode. We trended on, like, Twitter. We popped up in the iTunes charts for, like, the yeah. first time. Like, it was, like, a moment for us, and it yes. gave us, like, so much exposure, and it brought us, like, so many new followers. And so thank you, Camila, for leaving, honestly. Like, it really gave us, like, a lot of support and, you know, new listeners, and honestly, that was so much fun to dive into and make, because it was, like, it was a moment in, like, fandom yeah. I don't want to say, like, history, because it, you know, on the grand scale of things, it, like, was not that big of a deal, but I think
right,
like
right.
to our listeners, and, like, when it comes to, like, fandom dynamics overall, like, right now, like mm-hmm. that was pretty big, and so it was
yeah.
cool to, like, dive into that and just, like, discuss what all, you know, we were thinking. So shout out to Camila. That's the only time I'll ever say that, and only context yeah. I'll ever say that in. But yeah, those were some of my favorite moments for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I love that episode. It was very fun.
Yeah, that was Bye Girl, Bye Girl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so this year has been great, and I'm looking forward to the next year and the next year after that, because there's so much shit to talk about, you know?
So much. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, shout out to y'all again, and tweet us your favorite episodes, like, if
yes.
you've been listening for a while, like, some of your favorite moments, whatever. We would love to hear them and, like, share this moment with y'all, because honestly, like, I don't know that we would have kept going if we didn't have you guys.
Yes. Oh.
Thank you.
Tear.
So now we are going to get into a little bit of a throwback moment. We are going to go back to our MySpace days.
Yes.
We're talking, like, mid, late aughts, you know, like 2006, 2007. Mm-hmm. That was when Kayla and I were in middle school. I don't know
yes.
about you guys. but, like, when Kayla and I were in middle school, the pop radio, like, universe was filled mm-hmm. with a lot of emo rock.
Definitely. Oh, my goodness.
And I also feel like I was thinking about this, and I feel like that was, like, the last era of, like, hearing a genre in its quote-unquote, like, purest form. Mm-hmm. In the sense that, like, nowadays people are just trying to get that crossover hit, so almost everything sounds exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, towards those, like, early, those, like, late 2000s or whatever, like, we were still hearing, like, R&B, like, straight-up R&B or, like, straight-up rap or straight-up rock on all these different stations, and they were, like, quote-unquote popular. Mm-hmm. And our middle school years were filled with specifically a lot of emo rock. And so we thought we would go back and rank some of our favorite songs from those days and give them to you. So, Kay, I'll let you go first with your first emo track.
Okay, so this is not in any order. When I was doing, like, research for this, I wrote down, like, 30 songs. So, y'all, I had to.
So you're going to turn that into a playlist is what you're doing.
I guess. But, yeah, so my first one is Misery Business by Paramore.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this song is what really got me into, like, pop punk and starting, you know, to shop in Hot Topic. Second chances, they don't ever matter. People never change. Yo, I used to write, like, riot, the word riot, mm-hmm. over on everything. I used to take a sculpting class. I used to carve riot into my, like, the sculptures I'd used to do. it was bad. Like, so this song, definitely, I fell in love with Hayley Williams when I first heard this song.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this was before, this song is kind of problematic nowadays. You know, if this came out today, it'd be problematic. So this was back when I was like, I'm not like other girls and stuff. So I love this song, you know, because I'm not like other girls. I'm different. Choose me, not her. So, you know, that was the type of mindset I was in at that time. So I definitely love this song so much. Mm-hmm. And
it's a classic, you know, Paramore song.
It's definitely a classic, like, definitely. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't mention Paramore without mentioning Misery Business, you know?
What's funny is that this song reminds me of, so this song back in the day was in a lot of, like, fan-made videos for, like,
mm-hmm.
couples and shit. So specifically, like, I remember watching, like, One Tree Hill fan videos and different, like, basically different scenes, like, set to this song. And it's just, that was such a time. Specifically with, like, Peyton Brooke and Lucas, or like Peyton, Lucas, and Lindsay. This
triangles,
means nothing to like 50% of y'all. But yeah, all the love triangles, like, this was like the theme song of any love triangle that was happening on TV.
Yes, we love Misery
classic,
Business.
Classic. So my first one, speaking of One Tree Hill, is a song called Hands Down by Dashboard mm-hmm. Confessional.
Okay.
I think it was on like season one of One Tree Hill or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like the epitome of like, when you have a crush on someone or when you're in deep like with someone, mm-hmm. it may not be love yet, but you're just so infatuated that just being around them, like, literally your feelings are so high that, like, you're overflowing. And, like, so one of the lyrics in the song is, in the chorus, is, my hopes are so high that your kiss might kill me.
So deep.
So fucking emo. And it's just so intense. Like, when you hear there's like the guitar that's going, and it's like very, it's an acoustic guitar, but it's just like the way they're strumming it is just like so intense. And the second verse starts, and like the words are just hushed, and it's just like, it's like, it's like really intense, and it's a love song. But this man is literally saying that, like, your kiss is going to kill me, but fuck it. I want to die happy. Lay it on me. Like, this is how intense this love is. And I remember just, like, singing this and had no one in my life at the time. But, like, you could not tell me anything.
It.
I was feeling
felt
this
it.
This song.
You
so,
yes.
Hands Down by Dashboard Confessional, that is one of my faves for sure. What's your next one?
So mine kind of goes into hardcore rock after this.
Mm.
Last Resort by Papa Roach. Cut my life into pieces. This is my last resort. Suffocation, no breathing. Don't give a fuck if I cut my arm bleeding.
Oh God, this is
the first
really
time I heard this
we're
song.
Really going back.
I hate that I can remember the first time I listened to this song, but the first time I heard this song was on The Game, the TV show The Game, mm-hmm. and I think it was right after like Derwin had cheated on Melanie, and I remember I think he was like laying on a couch or something bad happened in their relationship, and for some strange reason on this black show, which is, when I think about it now, like,
really
this song
cool,
did not
actually.
Fit. This song didn't really fit, but it worked in the situation. But yeah, Papa Roach, Last Resort, when that song just, when you hear it and it goes, cut my life into pieces,
this,
I'm like, oh
my
God, I love this
is
great. Yes, and this is when I was like super like, my mom is getting on my nerves and like nothing is working out for me, life sucks, blah blah blah, and that's, I just loved this song. I used to listen to it on blast. Mom used to be like, wash the dishes. I'm like, cut my life into pieces. So, you know, it just, this is definitely
that is so funny. Sidebar though, The Game really did have some, like, they had, like, a wide array of music.
Definitely,
on that show.
Definitely,
because,
like, I think I fell in love with John Mayer after
Yeah.
The
they
game.
Played Dreaming with a Broken
Dreaming
Heart
Broken
on that
Heart.
Show.
Yes,
yeah, and it was,
yes.
like, oh, so beautiful. Shout out to the music supervisor on The Game.
Yes.
So I'm going to just stay in this Papa Roach vein, because I, too, okay. have a song of his. Is it a hymn, a band? I don't even know.
I don't know.
So Papa Roach stayed in this, like, fucking deep, depressing ass shit.
It was really suicidal.
This, okay,
know?
So the song I picked by Papa Roach is called Scars.
Oh my God, I knew it! I love this song.
And it goes, the first line is, I tear my heart open, I sew myself shut, my weaknesses.
That I can't do much, and my scars remind me that the past is real.
Like, I actually had forgotten about this song until I was, like, doing research. And this song played, and, like, I think from the first couple chords or whatever, like, I didn't realize what it was. And then as soon as he started singing, I also started singing along. And, like, I just remember hearing this on the radio, and, like, it was completely normal. Wait, let me double check, like, when this song actually came out.
Oh my God,
so this song came
song.
Out in 2004. So we were like just exiting middle school, or we were just exiting elementary school and going into like middle school for real.
Yeah.
And I wasn't going through shit. Like there was
right.
there was
life
nothing
was
in
easy.
My life. But like I'm sitting over here singing about like tearing my heart open and my scars and my weaknesses and like they're like come on. It was never that deep. But like this song like. Took me immediately back to that time in my life when I was like a kid sitting in the car, like just singing to the radio. But yeah, so Scars by Papa Roach.
Song,
that
though.
Is my second song.
Yes. We love Papa Roach.
Yes, apparently.
So my third song is, I think this is a little bit earlier. I think this might have come out in about 2002 or 3. Beautiful by Christina Aguilera.
Oh my God.
I am beautiful. No matter what they say, words can't bring me down. I am beautiful in every single way. Yes, words can't bring me down.
I remember, like, my mom would let me, like, play my CDs in the cars and stuff. And I'd put the CD with this, what was this, Stripped, I want to say?
I think so.
Was this Stripped?
Mm-hmm.
The album, I put it in the car and I'd play, I'd tell her to play this song and I'd just stare out of the window and like pretend I was in a music video. And
like, do you know that I used to, as a kid, cry when this song came on?
Dude, like, I love
like,
the song. I love
so
the video.
Great. It's
like,
so great.
It was just so good. And I remember, I think it was around the time that, so you know, if you know me, I am very tall. And mm-hmm. so I was always taller than all of my classmates. And there was this boy I really liked, but he was so much shorter than me. And I remember telling somebody, this is my confessional right here, but I remember telling somebody that I liked him and they used to make fun of me because I was
Aww.
Taller than him. And they'd be like, y'all would never be cute, whatever, whatever. And so I remember him saying one time, he was like, she's too tall for me. She's like one of the boys or whatever. Ugh. And I'm like, oh, that sucks so bad. So I remember this song, I think, came out around the same time as that. And I used to just sing this song like, oh, my God, this is my life right now. I am beautiful. No matter what they say.
You absolutely are. And you were back then. You. And screw that short ass nigga, whatever. Right. Anyway. I remember, like, it got to the point where I would actually tell my mom to change the station when this came on because it would actually make me tear up.
Yes, like I said, I could not go without mentioning this song. Yeah. So, yeah. Christina Aguilera, beautiful. Oh, so good. And so, in the beginning when she's like, don't look at me. It's like, oh, my God. So good. So good. But, yeah. What's your third?
My third, and I'm sure this was on one of your lists as well. Like, okay. I Write Sins Not Tragedies by Panic at the Disco.
Of course.
So, can we just talk about how, like, this is one of, like, the best storytelling in pop music of, like, the past, I don't know, ever?
I agree. Oh, well, imagine as I'm pacing the pews in a church corridor, and I can't
help but to hear. No, I can't help but to hear in exchanging of words. Like, they're literally, like, telling this story and painting this picture for you, you know, at this wedding and, like, all this crazy shit going on, like, and it just works, and the delivery of the lyrics is catchy and intense, and, like, if you don't completely transform into a member of Panic at the Disco when you hear this song, like, I literally, like, my body, like, I become a completely different person to this day when I hear this song. Yeah, it's just a classic.
Yeah, and then I love how, like, animated he's animated while he sings, so that's really catchy as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in fact,
yes.
Like, get it through Sam, and technically our marriage is saved. Yeah,
I feel like
love it. But yeah, so, Panic at the Disco, they were like, they gave me like a very important song in my middle school days.
So my last one is Welcome to My Life by Simple Plan. And
do I know this song? This might be the first one I don't know.
Okay, so if I sing it, you might know it, okay? It goes, oh, I don't want to sing it. So it goes, to be hurt, to feel lost, to be left out in the dark. You know that one?
Nope.
No? Oh, my God.
Sounds like every other.
It starts off, like, the guy comes in, he's like, do you ever feel like breaking down?
Do you ever feel out of place? Oh, I think I do know that. Yes, yes. Do you ever feel like breaking down? Do you ever feel out of place? Like somehow you just don't belong and no one understands you. Yeah, I know this song. I love this song.
I don't know why I went through my emo stage because, okay, I've always been a student athlete. So, like, not to brag or anything, but I was always kind of popular in high school. So it was never like I was really, like, out of the in crowd. But for whatever reason, if I go back into my old iPod, because that's what I did today, I went through my iPod that I had in high school, which is so small compared to phones and iPods nowadays.
It's fat and small, the iPod Classic.
But I went back to listen to that. I have it in my car. And I have so much emo music. And this is one of the songs that I have on there. And I remember listening to this and, like, screaming it when I used to listen to it and things like that. And it's like, I didn't ever really feel like that, especially in high school when, like I said, I've always been a student athlete. So a lot of people always knew me. And I've always kind of been friends with everyone. So it was never like I really felt like this, you know, like I related to this song. But I loved it so much. It was just like, yeah, I feel so misunderstood sometimes. Right. It's like, you know.
But, like, I don't know what it was. I don't know if it's that these songs were just coming out at that time, and so they were what we were hearing, so we just kind of, and, you know, like you said, it wasn't just the songs, it was like Hot Topic. You know, you wore a certain kind of
hella banties
or Vans or whatever, you know, those weird bracelets with the square spiky things.
Yes, I had the belts. I had, like, it was legit.
Like, I feel like it was just a part of the culture. You know, because, like, we were just, there was nothing we were going through that, like,
nothing, you know, at all
gave us any reason to relate to any of these songs. But I mean, most of, until I got to, like, late high school and, like, early college, that was when I really started hearing music that I could actually relate to, which makes sense because we were so young. Yeah. So, I mean, it was just like, I think it was just, like, part of the culture, and that was why it kind of you know, we just fell into that. But I do think, like, just that time period, like, I just wonder why that was such
everyone
a thing.
Everyone was so emo. Like, yeah. Everyone. It's
everybody. Everybody.
It's crazy.
All right. So we started with Paramore. I'm going to finish it with Paramore.
All right.
My song is also from Riot, mm-hmm. which was a great album. That's What You Get.
Oh, love it.
Which was definitely one of my MySpace songs. And it just, like, this is another one that I just screamed and I felt it. Mm-hmm. And she is just talking about, like, all the bullshit you go through when you are in love with someone. Mm-hmm. And it's just, like, that's just what happens when you open up your heart. Yep. And when you let it take over, like, all your thinking, all, you know, the way you think and the way you act. Hayley Williams, again, just, like, shout out to her. Like, I've listened to Paramore for, like, years. It's been, like, almost a decade now.
Yeah.
But I didn't really realize it until their most recent album, out After Laughter. Like, as I was getting ready to, like, listen to that, I was revisiting some of their older stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, like, it really hit me that, like, I've been listening to them for, like, 10 years.
Yeah.
And they truly have had this, like, imprint on my just as I've been growing up, they've just been a constant. And
yeah.
I never really actively thought about them like that because I wouldn't say I'm like a Paramore stan.
Yeah.
But like I haven't really seen them be problematic. The music almost always delivers.
Yeah.
Like, and you know, speaking of After Laughter, like that is a great fucking album.
Yeah, it is.
And they just get better and better. So mm-hmm. shout out to Hayley the Goat.
Yeah. Can I read some of my honorable mentions?
Yes. Let's hear them.
So I have quite a few, but I'm just going to read about two or three of them.
Okay.
So my first one is, it came out when we were so young. I think we were in like kindergarten, but Creep by Radiohead is a song that I really love.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to all our friends that play Guitar Hero, because that is a Guitar Hero, like one of the best songs on there.
Yes. 21 Guns by Green Day.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Brightside by The Killers.
Yes.
And the last one, Bring Me Back to Life by Evanescence. Like, God.
So good. And also, shout out to Linkin Park. Like, we didn't really
mention
Linkin Park, but they had a moment during like,
yes.
those years.
And
sure.
I did mention on the last episode that Jay-Z is my favorite rapper. And when Jay-Z and Linkin Park teamed up and did that album together,
mm-hmm.
loved
mm-hmm.
it. So that's when
really
got into Linkin Park. Yeah, love them. Also, yeah. really love Blink 182. Like,
yeah, I love Travis Barker. Wow, that
so
was
good.
Such a time. That
yeah.
was such a fucking time. But
so crazy.
We're back in 2017 now, and everything yeah. on the radio sounds exactly the same.
Yes,
so
let's get some Afro beats.
And then you gotta, I know, but like, great value.
Yeah, yeah,
great value
Afro
beats. So thank you guys for taking a stroll down memory lane
yes.
with us.
Back down memory lane.
That was faint. That was fun.
Now we're going to get into our flops and faves, and if this mm-hmm. is your first time listening, it is our favorite thing of the week and our least favorite thing of the week. And as always,
yes,
I'm going to let you go first.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm really, really hype about my fave this week.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it yesterday on my timeline, and I like literally freaked out, and I didn't think this news, I would be concerned with this news anymore, but iHeartRadio, I don't know if you saw, they announced this week that SZA is their new On the Verge artist.
On the Verge, yeah.
With
that.
Love Galore. So if you guys don't know what iHeartRadio On the Verge is, basically it's this like amazing promotional tool that they choose like a new artist every, I think it might be every quarter
mm-hmm.
or something. I'm not sure how often it is, but a couple times like within a year, I believe. Like they choose different like up and coming artists and that have just released a single, and they basically like promote the hell out of them.
Yeah.
So like if you're listening to an iHeartRadio station, they might have like a little piece of an interview with this artist where it's like, "Hi, I'm so and so and I'm the iHeartRadio On the Verge artist.
Mm-hmm.
And this is Love Galore, my new single." And then they play that song like much more often than a lot of like the normal singles on rotation.
Yeah.
And so pretty much what this does is like it gives newer artists a lot more exposure. Mm-hmm. As much as we want to as much as we shit on like what pop radio especially has turned into in recent years, like it's still a major way that people are exposed to new music or mm-hmm. music at all. So like the fact that they chose SZA, someone who we love so yes. much, but the fact that they chose a black artist,
yeah.
a black woman, and who isn't like straight line pop,
yeah.
but she, you know, is an R&B singer, like, you know, in a lot of her, I mean, she dabbles in a lot of different things, but like, she's not this like poppy girl that mm-hmm. like often gets chosen for this. And like, I just think it's a great sign, and they made an amazing decision. And I just am so excited for like the continuing the support that SZA's getting from like across the industry.
Yeah.
So shout out to iHeartRadio on The Verge. That is my fave of the week for doing that. My flop of the week is New York City for two reasons. One, because the transportation system here sucks.
Yeah.
Like, it just, shit's always breaking down, and it doesn't make any sense because of the amount of people that are here.
Yeah.
And the amount of taxes that are freaking being funneled into this, like, city. And the, just, like, it's 2017, and the kind of shit that happens, like, should not be happening. Like, mm-hmm. it just doesn't make any sense. So, not just that, like, that's one of the reasons why NYC is my flop, but also because it fucking smells here in the summer. Like, people talk about, like, hot garbage, but, like, I never understood, like, what that truly meant, like, that smell when they're talking about how bad something smells. They describe it as hot garbage. I never truly got that until the past few weeks when mm-hmm. it's been, like, hot as hell, and it's just, like...
Is it, like, Bourbon Street, but, like,
slaps you in
all the
face.
Time?
It's and Bourbon
everywhere?
Street, but everywhere. Yes, exactly. Like, a little bit less urine
yeah.
in that, you know, chemistry, depending on, like, what part of town you're in. But, uh-huh. like, literally, imagine, like, Bourbon Street, but, like, never being able to escape that smell.
Oh,
like,
God.
That is exactly what it is. And so...
Sounds like a nightmare.
It sucks. It's disgusting. I hate the fact that, like, I have to go underground every day, and then I walk into work feeling like I need another shower
because yeah.
we don't have showers here. Like, it just, I'm so looking forward to fall already just because
yeah.
I need to not feel this disgusting all the time. So, yeah, my flop is just New York summer flops. I mean, there are a lot of positives. Like, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great yeah. things about New York in the summer, but the metro and the smells are not that great. Not that great at all. But yeah, that's my flop. What are your flops and faves?
All right. So my fave this week is an R&B singer's album. His name is Tone Stith.
Mm-hmm.
And his album is called...
Interesting name.
Yeah. I had to go look him up. His full name is Antonio. But I guess he goes by Tone or whatever. But yeah, so his album's name is called... It's called Can We Talk? And yeah, it's the first thing I thought about. Tevin Campbell. It's the first thing I thought about. But y'all know, I'm always trying to keep R&B alive. So I thought I'd plug him on the show. And I just recently discovered him like 2 days ago. But my favorite on the album is called Miss California. And mm-hmm. I went on his socials, and he has like a Drake cosign. So he'll probably be featured on the next Drake project or something. Mm-hmm. You know how Drake likes mm-hmm. to put his claws into new artists,
whatever.
And
yeah.
But yeah, he reminds me kind of like of Division, where he's one of the newer R&B singers, but he can actually sing. He's not kind of like Bryson Tiller, where he just, you know, talks, sings or whatever.
Yeah,
he gives me Division vibes, where he can really like give you a churchy run but still give you that new wave R&B sound. So
That's nice.
I really appreciate that. And yeah, it's a pretty good album, and like I said, Miss California is my favorite from that. And so yeah, that's my fave, Tone Stith's album, Can We Talk?
Nice.
My flop this week, I literally got this flop maybe an hour ago, right before we started recording. But I was on Twitter, and someone retweeted a Mashable tweet from the, you know, little media company, whatever, Mashable.
Mm-hmm.
And some intern named Samantha posted mm-hmm. an article about Cisco, right? And the article is about him remaking the Thong Song with some like EDM producer or something. I didn't read it all the way. But what really annoyed me was really just the tweet attached to the, you know, article link. And it was like, Are you wondering what one-hit wonder Cisco has been doing? He's re-recording. He's like re-recording the only song he's famous for, or something like that. So, you know, I hate when people disrespect R&B artists, especially ones that, you know, are like pioneers for the new people nowadays. And just the fact that they called him a one-hit wonder was so annoying, because all it takes is a Google search. All you have to type in is Cisco Billboard history, chart history.
Yeah.
It's so easy. And it's insulting, I think, to call people flops or one-hit wonders because their other songs never got played on, like, your beloved pop, you know, stations or whatever. And I just want people to do more research before they write, you know, articles. And if you can't get people's attention by just writing about him re-recording that old-ass song, then you should probably find, you know, a new story that is interesting enough for clicks.
Right.
Because trying to play, you know, Cisco. I mean, come on. Cisco. As an R&B fan, I'm offended. And really, I've tweeted this so many times before, but I kind of just want white people to just stop writing about black music altogether, because it's just so annoying. It reminded me of this guy like a few months ago.
The Ashanti?
Yes.
Guy?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
He got on Twitter. He's like, what other song does Ashanti have besides some song with like Fat Joe or something? I'm like, are you serious? Like, oh God, please just leave R&B artists alone and black music period, kind of sort of just let other people write about them, you know, our people, because we know better. I mean, because like I know these things off the top of my head, that Incomplete was a number one song. It's so easy to Google. Do your googles. Google is free, dude. So yeah, that's my flop. Intern Samantha, the intern at Mashable. But yeah, that's the end of the episode, guys. Episode 30.
We made it to 30.
Yes.
Damn. Shout out to Dion, our amazing podcast DJ. She produces the music you hear at the beginning and end of every episode. You can follow her on Twitter and SoundCloud at your girl DJ Magic.
And you can follow the show on Twitter at The Fan Podcast. And you can follow our personal Twitters. Our names will be in the description box. And is that all I have to say?
I think so.
Yes.
And yeah, so if you have like 2 seconds, you can maybe rate us on Apple Podcasts.
Also,
Play.
Leave a review. We just got a new review. I kind of want to shout this person out.
We did?
Hold on.
Oh
let
God,
me go look.
I haven't seen it.
So
the reviews makes me so happy. Like, y'all don't even know.
Shout out to my homegirl, Lizzie.
Yes, Lizzie.
Lizzie is awesome. Yes, you are, Lizzie. You are awesome. You just left us a review. And so happy you enjoy the podcast. So happy you think we're funny and we keep it real. We will keep doing our thing. So
thank you, guys,
Lizzie,
so
and everyone
much.
Else who has left a review, also
or listened or anything.
Yeah,
thank you.
Cheers to the next year.
Yep, we will keep going. Oh my God, I have one honorable mention.
Okay.
The Reason by Hoobastank.
Okay, I don't know that.
Oh my God, you don't? It's like and it's like I'm not a
perfect person. Oh my God, I know that song.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah.